guess what? We have a free 12-week half marathon training program. The program is for anyone considering doing a half marathon, although it is not specific to everyone's needs, but it provides a great guideline on how to prepare efficiently for the event. You can find this in our bio by simply clicking the link, putting your email in, and you will automatically receive the PDF with the program and advice on training to you. Enjoy and let us know how you go. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tight Mates Fitness Podcast. Again, you're joined by myself, Brandon, and as per normal, Kyle. We're focusing on the five pillars of long distance running today.
We are indeed. It's something that we've sort of taken into consideration over our periods of learning how to run, and also like experiences as well, like potential injuries that we've had over the years from running small little things. Like I had plantar fasciitis last year when I was prepping for my marathon. So yeah, there's a few considerations as to why that happened, how I can prevent that from happening again. So yeah, we'll discuss a few more things. So the five pillars of running.
Yeah, and like you've said, we've learned a lot of lessons due to the different events that we've done. You've done a couple of marathons, I've done a few half marathons, and also the half Ironman, and coming up to a marathon in about 6 weeks' time. So I've learned a lot, surrounded myself with different runners as well to learn a few different things. But today, five pillars of running. So the things that you need to know, or some of the things that I wish I knew before I started running as well. So together today, these pillars are going to form the house. This is the analogy that we're running with, Kyle.
Okay, yeah.
Keep going. So all these pillars together will build a solid, sturdy house. And the analogy is you'll be able to complete the event or goal.
So
bring it all together.
Yeah, I like it. So the first one is going to be our foundations, which is make sure your long runs are easy runs. So when we're discussing with longer runs, like this can vary depending on where you are with your training. It can start from, 10 kilometers is probably a long, well, it's going to be a long run for some people, even 5 kilometers.
Can be a long run, yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on where you're actually coming from.
Mm.
But yeah, as Kyle just mentioned, we want to make sure that your longer distance run that you'll do during the week, and you want to aim to do at least one long run. It needs to be slow and steady at a pace where you can easily have a chat to each other, just like we are right now.
What happens with someone that's very unfit and even running slow? They're at a huff and puff.
Well, there they probably need to take a step back and go to a brisk walk where they're still able to have a chat.
Yeah. Would you even consider like doing 2 minutes off running, or 2 minutes on running and then like 1 minute off walking, just to like slowly build into that aerobic capacity?
Yeah, but that could be their interval session as well. So if they can't run comfortably and have a chat, I think they need to be doing that brisk walk over a long distance first.
Yeah.
And that's going to start to build up their aerobic capacity as well, because it's elevating their heart rate in comparison to, say, what a really good runner would be doing. It's the exact same, but they're actually running, whereas a beginner that's quite unfit, brisk walk, they're going to be having the same elevated heart rate.
And then with, I guess, so we've got someone that's intermediate and someone that's been running for a long period of time, what sort of heart rates should we be looking at on a long run?
Obviously, it varies to individuals. But for me, I find that the 130 to 160 beats per minute is where I can sustain a good conversation with someone without huffing and puffing and, you know, breaking up my conversation. But for someone else, it may differ. And the way you'll find out is if you're on, you've got a heart rate monitor on, or some of the watches also have heart rate. Sometimes they can be a little bit inaccurate. If you want the gold standard, you need to get a heart rate monitor around your chest. Yeah. But yeah, if you're able to comfortably have a conversation and you're at 165, then that's
a pretty good objective measure as to where your heart rate's at.
Yeah, I believe so. And it's just like a lot of, I guess, more beginner runners, even intermittent runners, they sometimes do these long runs at a high pace. Like all their runs are, you know, as quick as they can, which will lead to like burnout, overuse injuries, which I've found myself in the past definitely doing.
Yeah, I know my first marathon, I was definitely running at harder paces majority of my runs. I did notice I felt very burnt out, and I actually started dreading the runs a lot more because I knew I had to try and sustain a particular pace. And I sort of felt at times if I wasn't continuing at that pace, and I'd be dropping off. But yeah, I've learned to grow. I've learned that less is more. So yeah,
especially with those longer distance runs.
Mm.
But then we shift and focus in on our threshold sessions. That's where you actually want to get your heart rate up higher, and this will be number two of our pillar as well. So this is where we start to build a solid framework for the house
on the foundations. I like where this is starting to
get some wood onto that concrete now. So with the threshold sessions, this is where you're doing some possibly track sessions, where you're doing some intervals. So I guess doing a 400 meter run at your desired race pace, whatever that is, whatever your goal objective is. It's sort of at a pace where it's a little bit uncomfortable for you.
Yeah.
And then you'll have as it's an interval session, you'll have a period where you may go back to a slower jog, or you may stop completely for a period of time.
Yeah, and walk. And that's like in those periods, you're having a little rest where you're actually rejuvenating your ATP system. And then, you can reutilize that when you go into the next bout of the higher intensity.
Yeah. And then another way you can implement threshold sessions could also be through just like runs, like longer distance runs, but just include like elevated pace within the session. So you may do a 2K warm up, and then in the middle of the session, you may have a period where you do 2K for, well, whatever period of time you can get the 2K in at your desired race pace.
Yep.
And then back off for your cool off.
How do people know what their race pace is? You sort of have a desire of what pace you want to be running at?
Well, yeah. And I guess at the start as well, it's sort of something that you can't really judge depending on where you are. Like say, if you're a beginner, you're probably not going to be too sure what your pace goal will be, but over your training, you'll start to see some really good improvements, and then you'll be able to half work out what your race pace could be, like coming 4 weeks before, or even 6 weeks before your event comes up.
And then so, obviously the higher intensity sessions are where you elevate your heart rate. So you're putting yourself under more fatigue. You fatigue a lot quicker because, you know, obviously your lactate exceeds your oxygen consumption, so therefore your pace is going to drop off at one point in time. But yeah, it's about trying to sustain that, and then over a period of training you'll notice that you'll be either a lot quicker or you can sustain that pace for a lot longer.
Yeah, because your body's ability to remove that lactate will improve. So it'll be able to clear that lactate, and you'll be able to run at quicker paces.
The body becomes more efficient.
Yeah, so it's basically like weight training as well. You provide that stimulus, and then you back it off for the recovery, and then you keep repeating. The body, the human body is pretty amazing what it can do. You provide the stimulus and enough recovery, and plus other like nutrition, etc., and the body will do amazing things, and you'll see some good increases.
So you spoke about nutrition there. So nutrition is our number three. So it's the analogy is it's inside the house. So all the interior of this immaculate house that we're building.
Yeah, perfect. Couldn't have said it any better. But you need to fuel yourself with running before, during, and after. So this could be for training. If you're not fueling yourself prior to going for a run, then you're probably going to feel pretty depleted.
And how should your fueling look?
So for a general run, I think during the day you need to hydrate yourself with both water and something like something that can that has carbs in it as well, or like a bit of sodium. So your Gatorades and Powerades are perfect to get that sodium into your body as well. And
it's a good source of carb as well. It's energy. And then you can look at bananas as well. Bananas is my go-to. It's a easy fruit. It's got natural sugars in there. So you get, I think what a banana is 150 calories.
Any fruit is quite good too though. Like watermelon has plenty of water in it as well.
Yeah, but in terms of carbs, watermelon definitely doesn't have
as many carbs, but it's still a great like hydration, in, especially before a run. Like it's all going to help.
Yeah.
And then you could have lollies as well, just for extra energy with glycogen, carbohydrates
And
well.
The fuel sources that we're talking about now are probably things that you have half an hour to 15 minutes or even 15 minutes before, because they're high GI, so your body breaks it down a lot quicker. Whereas other carbs, like say for a long run, you have it 2 hours before the long run, so you have, you know, high dense grains like bread, and then what else, oats as well.
Good point. And also if it's in the morning, I think coffee and maybe some creatine's also something that you could consider as well. Just that extra boost
and
the caffeine.
Yeah, I know people like to run fasted as well. It's like, I'm not saying don't do that, because if you enjoy running fasted, then so be it. Maybe the night before you have a bit more carbs or something like that.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, exactly. If you're not having a lot of carbs the night before and then you're running fasted... you may not have many carbs in your body. So you're going to make sure you're a bit smarter with what you eat the night before if you're getting up and running straight away.
Yeah. And the thing is, I can tell with myself when I don't have carbs, I go for a longer run. I definitely feel a lot more depleted during, and I definitely can't sustain a pace that I usually work at.
Yeah. And like, say for an event, you definitely need to have adequate amounts of carbohydrates in your system prior to. And I think with your training, it's pretty important to start practicing what you would actually do on game day as well.
Yeah, 100%. And don't make dramatic changes either. Like, I know some people, I've probably done it. I've kept it pretty simple. Kept it to what I've been eating, but people try and dramatically change their routine, fueling, and it's just not necessary. And I guess the main reason why you do carb loading is because you want to fuel up with carb. It is something that's really important. You know, a half marathon and a marathon especially, you want to make sure you prioritize your carbs.
Yeah, and you don't change anything, because your gut may get a little bit upset if it's not used to something that you've eaten the night before or the morning of.
And that goes for gels as well.
That'll come to, I guess, during as well. It's probably not a bad thing to take gel before as well, but just make sure you're used to it, because the gels are quite strong.
Yeah, they're a bit gooey.
Yeah, some of them can be thick. From 20 to 30 milligrams of straight carbs.
More like 36,
yeah.
36 grams.
They do vary, so
yeah.
Try stick with the same brand and the same amount.
Yeah, don't mix up different brands.
Don't mix. So. Don't try something new.
Yeah.
But also that comes back to during a run, especially a longer run, you need to maybe after about 7Ks have some more carbohydrates through gels or hydrate, have a quick drink as well if you can.
And it's just understanding like how your body reacts to things too. You can definitely tell when a gel kicks in, you're able to sustain those levels. But what about protein?
Yeah, protein we would definitely want to take after a run to help with recovery.
Yeah.
I think.
Definitely. Yeah, protein is paramount. You want to make sure that you give your body adequate protein to allow the muscle fibers to repair.
Yeah, and replenish.
Yeah, 100%. Is there anything else we want to talk about nutrition?
I guess it's just if you're in a like pretty heavy training program, I think it's pretty important to like include some multivitamins into your diet, because I think obviously you want to get all your vitamins through like a good diet, like through, you know, vegetables, just a good mixture. But sometimes you may be missing out on something. And if you do take a multivitamin, then that might be something that's just covering what you're missing out on.
Yeah, it can replace what you've missed essentially.
Yeah, so I'd take a multivitamin every morning. It's just a men's one, and yeah, I think it's quite good.
You notice a difference?
Yeah.
Placebo?
Maybe.
Nah.
If it's a placebo, it still works. It's still the same thing.
Yeah, no, nice.
And we might move on to our next pillar, and that is recovery. The analogy is the roof.
Okay.
Of our house.
Yeah, right. So we're getting a bit excited. We're looking at the house and it's starting to look more solid and it's starting to look more like a house.
Definitely. And I think with your recovery, it's pretty important to, especially for beginners, to break up your training sessions like throughout the week. Maybe if you run on a Monday, then your next run might be on a Thursday. Or say we might go Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday.
So how many runs do you do a week?
At the moment, I'm doing 3 runs.
And how do they look?
So a Tuesday session will be a bit of a threshold one. And then a Thursday night is just a bit of a, it could be a threshold session as well, but I just like to tick over the Ks with a bit of a mixture of slow and quicker run, depending on the night and what my program is. And then Sunday will be my longer distance run where I'm going a lot slower.
And if you had a fourth session, it would probably be a bit of a slower run as well.
Yeah, definitely. Just something that's building my aerobic capacity. But I haven't been including probably fourth sessions.
Why?
Because I just need that rest and recovery. And I'm also adding a few other things like swimming and strength training as well.
Oh, good. Good.
Yes. But with recovery, there's also a lot of other things that we can do. We can use foam rollers to break up our myofascial in our muscles and just promote blood flow through there. It's a really good way. Another important one that I think people take for granted is having really good sleep.
Yeah, 100%. Sleep's probably one of the most important things that is completely underrated. To all other things that you do, because when you go into deep sleep, you have your growth hormones that come into play, and then you have other hormones that are around as well that just allows your body to recover efficiently.
So the old quote, sleep when you're dead, it's not a good one to go by.
No, you slowly learn that it's it's definitely not ideal.
Yeah, and there's some really good research out there if you want to go further into it about a lot of, you know, it's another topic in itself.
And you can even tell, like, even you don't operate as efficiently when you're working and whatnot. You can tell when you're running off 5 to 6 hours sleep, you're fatigued, you yawn a lot more, and you're just not as energized as compared to 7 to 8 to 9 hours sleep, where, you know, throughout the day you might have a little lull, but you feel pretty good throughout the whole day.
Yeah, 100% agree if you're there.
Mm.
Kyle, what's our next pillar?
Oh, just another one with recovery. It's also like knowing the days. So you wouldn't put a threshold run on Saturday and then do a long run Sunday.
Yeah, definitely not for like someone that's not used to it.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. So you want to be wise with how you place your days over a period of the week.
Or, for example, you don't want to put a massive long run followed by a threshold session the next day as well.
And also, yeah, like you said, with foam rollers, even like for your feet as well, because like I said before, I got plantar fasciitis. And the main thing that I was doing, I was rolling out my arches like crazy. It was probably...
And it worked.
It was painful, very painful. It took a few weeks to actually get rid of it. I sort of kept running with it. It would slowly warm up. But yeah, just doing little things like for your feet, for your calves, because they're the ones that take a massive load over, you know, the periods of running.
Yeah, and I guess it comes back to, if you do start to get some niggles, make sure you go and learn about it pretty quickly, because if you keep pushing through, that's where that overuse injury can really blow up. And I've been an example of that coming into a big event last year, the Gold Coast Marathon, where I had to pull out because I just kept pushing through pain. And then it got to a stage where I actually like struggled to walk because that's how bad my little overuse injury got.
Yeah, it's definitely not ideal. So it's listening to your body and actually doing something about it. Whether what I was doing last year with my plantar fasciitis, I YouTubed a lot of stuff. Bob and Brad, the physiotherapists, they were my go-to.
The best physios in the world.
Yeah, that's their quote. But yeah, they're really good. But otherwise, you'd recommend physios and osteos and whatnot, because they're qualified. They're qualified for those injuries.
Yep.
Number five.
We'll bring in number five with, so this is the plan to build the house. And this is progress over time, following a bit of a plan, a structured plan.
Mm.
And you may get that from a coach, or you've got a beginner one that's given you a rough guide to follow. We have one for the half marathon that you could easily download. We've got that in our, I guess, at the start, we spoke about that as well. So if you're interested in that, use that. But the plan to build a house. So you need a plan that suits you, that's structured to continually progress yourself with little adaptions that don't go over 5 to 10%.
Yeah, that sweet spot
of volume. You don't want to go from, you know, running 5K a week to 20 to 30, because that's where your body will just
break down and you'll have injuries. And yeah, knowing that you're having little progressions, it definitely gives you confidence over a period of time, as to say you're at week 8 and you look back at week 2 when you started. It definitely gives you a lot of confidence knowing you've come a long way and you've progressed. You've started at, let's say, 4 kilometers, and now you're running at 12 kilometers. So it's definitely good to look back at those things. It makes a big difference.
It does. So this is actually the one that we didn't put in, but we think it's vitally important. This is to build the outside of the house, the bricks, to hold everything together. And this is strength training.
Yep.
We love it.
Nah, strength training is essential for running, I believe, for many reasons. It allows you to build up your lower body strength, where you focus on similar movements, like a Bulgarian split squat. So, you know, it's trying to allow the muscles to use those movements adequately. And then when you put it under heavy loads, you know, you're going to get great adaptations from that. And it also allows your body to prevent injuries from happening.
Yeah, so using a lot of single leg exercises, they're great ones to start with. And also, like, to add on to the Bulgarian split squats, you could do your calf raises as well. You could do a variety of isometric holds, or like more sort of plyo calf raises where you're sort of pressing up single leg, both like double leg, just variety there. And then also like the compound lifts as well, I think pretty important, like your RDLs, deadlifts, squats, and particularly probably your front squats as well, because they really develop your quads as well. And runners need good quads, especially the longer distance ones.
And I was sort of just thinking then that it's like, say you have a knee injury, it's not always the knee that's the issue, it's what's around it that can be the issue. Like you might have tight quads, which is affecting like the patella and it's really pushing it. Like I had that problem last year as well, where my knee felt really painful. And it was the fact that my quads were really tight and they were having a big impact on what my knee was doing. So it's just like understanding with the injuries that you might be having, it might not be directly that spot that's the issue. Yeah. Might be surrounding muscles.
Yeah. But, and if you can follow a program that has a large variety of exercises, and maybe it might fix that problem that you sort of didn't know. Like it might have been your knee, but if you're strengthening your glutes, it might actually fix it.
Yeah, and I guess it's trial and error with things over years. We're definitely going to learn more things through our running sessions and future events that we do.
Yeah, and learning from others and listening to others. It's the best thing, best education you can do.
Mm. What about plyometric training?
Yeah, so plyometrics, like including your jumps, single leg steps, which is something that I honestly need to do a bit more of. I need to add in, because when you're running, you're putting so much force into your lower legs. And the plyometrics, I guess, does the same thing, puts a lot of force into your legs.
Yeah, it's somewhat of emulation of what running is, and yeah, it allows your body to put it under loads where you're hopping and hopping, like pogo hops and, yeah, just...
Definitely something. Pogo hops are really good to put in at the start with your isometric... I mean, yeah, no. What type of dynamic stretches where you're actually warming up prior to the run as well. Super important there. So that's probably another one that we needed to touch on. But weight training overall, it's going to reduce, well, not fully prevent injury, but it's going to hopefully reduce your chances of getting injured.
Yeah.
Which, that's what we want. Less injuries, the better. And also with strength and conditioning, maybe you need to consider getting a coach, and maybe a coach that is specific for runners if you really want to, you know, get a good base, good program to follow.
Yeah, and it's, I guess it's their expertise as well, their experience from what they've been through. Maybe you, it's your first time starting and you don't really know what it looks like. Someone that's been through it before can definitely guide you in a better way. And it's essentially them just holding your hand and giving you the guidelines and key expertise as to why you should be doing certain things. And that's the most important thing, is they're actually giving you knowledge as to why you're doing something. Otherwise, it could just be, you know, a bit of a cop-out. Here you go, here's your generic plan, and off you go.
Yeah. So they are overall the six pillars to forming a solid house, or the analogy, a solid training program, so that you can make your event. So we have, just to go over them, we have number one, which was the long, slow runs. Mm-hmm. Number two, the threshold runs. Number three, nutrition. Four, good recovery. Five, progress and a good plan. And number six, the key, strength training.
Yeah, I do strongly believe that using these five or six pillars definitely help and give you better guidelines on how to attack running for long-term longevity. And yeah, like we said, it's you might have injuries along the way, and that's always going to be a part of it. But if you can prevent it as much as you can, it definitely helps, because it can be quite stressful at times and you can definitely get down on yourself. I know you did, Brando.
Oh yeah, definitely. But from your bad times, you learn a lot. So it's not, you at that time you see it as a bad thing, but if you didn't have that happen to you, it might have happened later on anyway.
You never fail, you always learn.
That's it.
You're either growing, you either grow or you're learning.
Love it. We might leave it there. You've wrapped it up very nicely, Kyle. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. Again, if you want to get in contact with us and learn a little bit more, maybe you might want a tailored program for yourself for an event that you're thinking about doing. That could be a 5K, 10K charity run, or it could be pushing towards a half marathon, a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
We're the guys to help you out.
Definitely.
Thank you. Bye.